Represent those of WGBB or its employees. You're listening to 1240 WGBB.
The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport. Amen.
Spirit of sweet Jesus flows as a gentle breeze, and it fills our soul with gladness, and it puts our heart at ease. Whether working or at leisure, Jesus wants to show the way. If we take the time to ask Him, He will guide us through the day. Let's be thankful.
Happy birthday, dear Blessed Mother Mary. Direct from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. It's time for
Listen Up, Jesus is on the Air.
Ah, that was great, Al.
Very good.
And welcome, listeners. Welcome to our show. And that was Al Palmer, who is co-hosting today's show. And we're
Wait,
have a
the name
great
is
show.
Al Barbarino.
Oh, Palmer, I said. Oh, my God.
Dr. John is on your mind.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, is he?
Oh, Dr. Palmer's on the phone. That's great.
See that?
We could understand.
Let's put him on.
He's sitting in this program. I'm looking for Dr. Palmer.
Hey, Dr. Palmer, welcome.
Very good, John, to hear your voice. Fantastic.
Well, I wish I could say the same about you, Al. But...
Oh, I love you too. You know that.
Oh, isn't he so lovable? And you know what? Did you hear that slip of my tongue when I was introducing Al?
Al Palmer.
That means you're on my mind constantly, Dr. John.
And I understand you have a Dana on today, but not the Dana from the music. Or Dana.
Not Ireland. No.
We have Dr. Monaco. Dana Monaco on the show today.
Al, I want to thank you for sitting in.
Oh, it's a privilege and an honor. You know that. And nobody could fill your chair.
And no one,
John, you know that.
No one
I know, but my fanny's gotten smaller. So but I really mean it from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for being there. And for Paul Miller.
It's a privilege.
For helping out.
It's a privilege.
People may not be aware, but through the medicine that was given to me, I had an allergic reaction. And it created blood clots throughout my entire body.
Oh, dear God.
And I could have been stung and died any time from the blood clots. But through the grace of God, they were cleared up.
Oh,
and
my God.
I'm not in any danger.
Praise
that way.
God.
I still
Praise
have cancer
Jesus.
I have to deal with, but I'm dealing with that as well.
Hallelujah is right.
Absolutely. I thank you, Al, and I thank Paul.
Oh,
I know Paul's not there today, but
it's
thank
an honor.
You for again.
He'll be here next week, Dr. Palmer.
But you know what? The shame is maybe Paul and Al could replace Tony, and that would be.
Wait, I see
could
those wheels are still greased.
It is a possibility.
Okay,
but,
I gotta go for that.
But no one could actually replace you, Dr. Palmer.
Oh.
And I figured I'd drop in and mess up your program.
Oh, you did a great job.
He's so nervous, Al. He's so nervous.
Oh. No, not really.
And should I? And what if? And you know. So I figured I'd just drop in and really mess him up big time.
No.
Well, you're doing a good job.
Thank you so much.
Okay, and I'll see you this afternoon.
All right, all the best to you. John, and thanks so much. It's great to hear your voice.
By the way, John, we're gonna do a prayer for you right now. So,
oh, don't get so maudlin. I'm really okay.
Okay. So this prayer is for
for Johnny Boy.
Johnny Boy. It was written by our prayer group, and it was written on June the 30th. And so
As long as I'm on, I want to thank any and all people who were called and people who wanted to come in to see me in the hospital. I really had to limit that because it was very tiring. And also, I was scared stiff. I thought I was going to get stung by a blood clot and then trip off to heaven. But that didn't happen.
Prayers are very powerful.
Amen.
Prayers are very powerful.
Thank you, everybody.
Johnny, this prayer is for you. Prayer for John. Father God, we rejoice in the blessing of your son, Dr. John Palmer, in our lives. We thank you for John, for he is a light to the nations, bathed in your light shining upon him. He is fearless, prayer warrior, a tower of strength, and a Christian hero for so many of your beloved children. We pray this rosary for John tonight, and know all his friends will remember him in their prayers each day. We ask for a renewal of John's mind and body, removing all pain and anguish as he is restored to good health. We surrender all to Jesus. We trust in your Lord for John's complete recovery, in your time and in your way according to your will. We ask for the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary, for we know that you will not refuse anything she asks in your name. John's heart belongs to you, Father. Grant him your peace, hope, and joy by the prayer of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And this prayer was written on June the 30th for Dr. John Palmer by the Christ the King Prayer Group while saying the Holy Rosary. And so let's get on with the show. So
here
we
go.
Let's introduce our guests.
Thank you for the prayer, and let me go out and throw up.
You're such a great guy.
They're giving you some real good medicine there, my friend. Very spicy medicine.
Okay. Okay,
very
John.
Good.
Thank you, John. Al, why don't you introduce our guest?
Okay, we are really privileged today to have my very dear friend, Dr. Monaco, and she's from St. Raymond's Parish in East Rockaway. And besides being a fantastic doctor, a surgeon at that, you know, she also has a good voice. She sings in the choir, the soprano section. I know Laura Garbatelli would love to hear that. At any rate, could give a little background on Diana. She graduated from Vassar. I was going to say Vassar.
Oh, now you Vassar sound like
College.
Me.
You see, it's rubbing off. My God. Excuse me. From Vassar College and also from SUNY Downstate Medical School. Quite impressive with this. Hold on, let me clear my throat. Say it.
Drink the water.
John choked me up. Also, she did a year and a half missionary work in Tanzania, East Africa. Very impressed with that. It says who she is. And in private practice, she's a general surgeon for 21 years in Rockwell Center. So it's really fantastic to have Dr. Monaco here as a guest speaker. She's going to address the topic of freedom of conscience, rights of Catholics. And it's something that, you know, we hear from time to time, freedom of conscience rights, and sometimes people say, well, what does that really mean? And she's going to really dive into that when she's going to present her talk. And I am sure that you will be very, very impressed with it. But I know, Tony, did you want to say something first?
I did want to say something about you, Al, before Dr. Monaco gets on, and before we get really into it. And I want to answer some questions about your travels, because I know you travel all over the place, and you're a great evangelist.
Big place.
Yeah, I know, and you're an evangelist. But you're an evangelist through song, and you're an evangelist through through prayer, and you're an evangelist through speaking. So tell us a little quickly, a little reference on where you were at Canada and some upcoming events so that we don't move on without mentioning it.
Okay. Last weekend I was in the annual conference, Marian Eucharistic Conference, in Winnipeg, and actually with me was Father Glenn Sedano from the Friars and Father Giovanni Tino, John Tino, from Brooklyn Diocese. And it was a magnificent event, as it always is, and much focus on the Eucharist, the most important, significant part of our faith, that Jesus is always with us, and also on Marian devotion. So it's really a spectacular event, to say the least, drawing every year between 1,200 and 1,500 people. So that says much. Coming up next weekend, I will once again be in the Catskills, emceeing that as well and speaking. The Catskill Conference, again, Marian Eucharistic, September 12th and 13th. And with me on that one will also be Erin Van Oefel, my very, very dear friend from Huntington, and speaking about the House of Ephesus, Our Lady's House. And Father Gio will be there, and Father Gio, many people know him as well. So that's next weekend. And later on in September, September 22nd, the Vigil of St. Padre Pio, there's the annual Mass, which is I call it the Italian production, at St. Bridget, and Father Tony Staganelli is the pastor there. And it starts at 6 o'clock, the recitation of the rosary, procession in the street. The Italian band marches in to the Mass, and band is playing as they're entering the church. It's super magnificent. And so that's an annual event. And lastly, in September, the following day, on the feast day of Padre Pio, at Our Lady of Lourdes Parish, there's three Our Lady of Lourdes, but this one is the one in West Islip. Monsignor McNamara is the pastor there, Our Lady of Lourdes. There will be a healing Mass there, and as we know, every Mass is a healing one. But it'll start at 7 p.m. with the recitation of the Rosary, prayer of the Rosary, followed by Mass celebrated by Father Gio Giordano Belanic, Croatian priest. So I will be doing the music there for the Mass. Anyone who could attend it, either one of those two nights, it's truly a gift, to say the least. So that's September 22nd in the evening at St. Bridget, Westbury, and September 23rd, the following night, at Our Lady of Lourdes in West Islip, the healing Mass. And every Mass is a healing Mass, as we know. So if you can make it, be great.
Okay,
enough of you.
Thank you, Mr. Al Palmer. And now let's move on with our guest.
Very good.
Okay, very good. So, Doctor, welcome.
Yes. Welcome. Thank you. Good to be here.
Great that you're here. I'm so excited about this.
And I have just one quick question.
Yes.
What do you mean by the conscious rights of the Catholics?
Okay.
Why has our conscious rights been violated, and in what way?
Okay. Well, when it comes to conscience rights, that's actually embedded in our Constitution. You know, the United States was founded on Judeo-Christian principle, and the ability of individual people to live according to their beliefs was the reason many people came here in the first place from Europe, because what you had was, state religions put into place in Europe, and people who believed differently were persecuted. So our first founders, although they were Protestant to start, came here because of their desire to live according to their consciences. And that means being able to practice one's religion, all right? Our First Amendment of the Constitution deals with that, and it is the first right within the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights is the free exercise of religion. Now, that doesn't just mean where you worship, whatever day of the week you worship. I mean, you know, if you're Muslim, you go to mosque on Friday. If you're Jewish, you go to temple on Saturday. And if you're Christian, you go to church on Sunday. That's not what it means. It means being able to live out your beliefs, okay? So what is...
In other words, not just worshiping,
not
per
just
se,
worship, not
but living it.
Right. Not
exactly.
What church you go to or what temple, what mosque, but how you live your life. Okay.
Amen.
Now, what does a Christian believe? All life is sacred from, or at least certainly Catholic Christian. All life is sacred from conception to natural death. And why do we believe that? Well, you have in the Bible, you know, in Genesis, God made them male and female and told them be fruitful and multiply. You have the incarnation of Christ, God incarnate, God conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary, born as anyone else is born, went through the embryonic phase, he went through the fetal phase, he went through the infant phase, child, adult, right? So in essence, he sanctified every phase of life.
Wow, great.
Okay? So as Christians, we see all life as sacred, all right? And we also believe in the union of a man and a woman come together make children, basically. To be fruitful and multiply and to form a family. And that is basic Catholic Christian belief. We should be able to live according to that belief. And now that being actually able to live that at present is coming under attack.
Yes.
Dana, if I may add this, I know we're Catholic, obviously, and you're focusing on that. Which is good, because all too often Catholics really don't hear much of this kind of stuff. But if I could just put an extension, because you ventured out to say Christian, and Billy Graham, Franklin Graham, his son, you know, he's very, very much on the same page. I mean, about being pro-life. And he actually said on talk shows, and I heard him specifically, you cannot consider yourself to be a Christian. I mean, Catholicism comes under that. You cannot consider yourself to be a Christian if you are not pro-life. It's that simple. So just expanding
besides,
on that.
Besides pro-life, I think the issue comes up to marriage between a man and a woman.
Yeah, well, that's another topic, totally.
Well, speaking of that,
almost another show.
Can you give us an example of what you mean by the conscientious rights of Catholics?
Yes. So, all right, we've just seen it this past week. Catholic belief is that marriage is between one man and one woman for the good of the spouses and to produce children. And this way you have a family, you raise a family, and this is the bedrock of society,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, you have in Kentucky a county clerk who said, as a Catholic, I cannot sign a marriage license.
Exactly
I can't do
what
this.
The Holy Spirit
okay.
wanted you to say.
True.
Now,
amazing.
This woman is in jail for practicing her conscience rights. All right, the Supreme Court has come down with its decision. Well, we have a principle in this country called conscientious objection, right? So if you as a Christian believe you cannot kill and therefore do not want to go to war, right? So if you're drafted, you weren't put into combat, you were put into being a cook or being a medic or some such thing, where you didn't have to kill, all right? So why cannot accommodation be made? Why is this woman in jail? She should have had an accommodation. All right, you don't have to sign it. One of your assistant clerks said, okay, fine, the Supreme Court came down and said this. Let someone else sign that marriage license. Do not force someone to engage in an act which goes against conscience. You're not hurting anyone. You're just saying, yes, I cannot do this. The same thing, say, you know, with the people who are caterers, photographers, who say, I cannot be involved in this particular activity because of my beliefs. The person down the road has no problem with it, okay? You know, you can go there. But it's not a matter of discriminating against people. It's a matter of saying, I cannot be involved in this action because it's against my beliefs. And frankly, it goes against our Constitution and our history to force people to do something against their conscience. Thomas Jefferson, I don't remember the exact quote, but he said something to the effect that causing someone to go against their conscience is, I forget whether he called it tyranny or an abomination. I think he probably called it tyranny. But this was Thomas Jefferson, and the whole idea was that we shouldn't be forced into doing things we cannot do in good conscience.
If you are a conscientious objector, is that correct?
Yes.
And so that woman that refused to sign those marriage certificates was a conscientious objector.
Yes, she was.
And she was not the silent majority. She spoke out and refused to give up her beliefs.
That's correct.
And I think it's unconscionable that, and this is my own personal opinion, that she was being forced to give up her inward beliefs of a Catholic religion.
And that goes directly against what this country was founded on.
Yes. And I think it's time for the silent majority to speak out, like our good doctor here. Because the more we take this, the more we say, okay, and the more it's going to happen to us. Thank you for speaking out, Doc.
If I may add this, and I know sometimes a person can say something and you'll have 5 or 10 people and you'll get 5 different or 10 different interpretations of what that person said. So what I'm going to say now may be easily falling into that situation. And this is what I'm going to say. Everyone is a child of God, no matter who you are. The same, the difference, whatever. You mentioned it before, Dana, with if you, you know, go to church, if you go to the mosque, if you go to the temple, and if this county clerk was a Muslim person, and again, do not misunderstand what I'm saying. Everyone is a child of God. God judges us all. And we may have differences, but we may not really understand. But I doubt very much in Al Barbarino's heart and head that that woman would be thrown in jail because there would be such a major upheaval. Needless to say, Muslims are on the same page with us when it comes to that.
Absolutely.
Same-sex
marriage.
I think
so, yes.
I'm not downing any groups of people now. Please understand what I'm saying. All I am saying, the rules that apply to the Christians are very different if someone else was in that very same capacity, being a Muslim. And we're all a child of God. And there was, you know, like some black minister that I heard say this, the most important thing in life is love God and love one another. That's who we are as a people. We're all different. But love God, love one another. And that's what the whole crux of this is.
Absolutely.
Truly. And we see different standards that are being that fall into place.
But also, the good doctor is bringing up an unbelievable point, a point that's been missed in this event here with
the very foundation of our country,
the foundation
is
of our constitution,
total freedom,
and the fact of conscientious
objections,
rights, objections. And so I think that's a very very important point that you're bringing up, and it's a point that I think Catholics themselves have forgotten about and are not thinking about it. And thank you so much for bringing it up.
Well, it's important because, you know, when our foundation is undermined, it's little by little, but eventually the entire structure is going to fall. Right? And once government can force you to do this thing against your conscience, then it can force you to do something else against your conscience. I'm specifically concerned about what may occur in regard to medical care, all right, as far as conscience goes. I mean, we see, say, pharmacists. All pharmacists must actually provide contraception. They have to have it stocked. They have to be able to get it. Now, if you're a Catholic pharmacist and, you know, contraception goes against the teachings of the Catholic Church, there's no conscientious objector status for a pharmacist for that. So, because they're considered a public accommodation. But wait, it's a private business, and if the guy down the street can do it, you know, why can't I? That is, if the guy down the street has no problem with it as far as conscience rights, why can't this be taken care of by the guy down the street? Why must I, as a Catholic,
be penalized?
And just like that baker that wouldn't bake
ate the cake,
and was penalized. Yeah, I think you're touching on a topic that needs to be brought to light.
It goes to the very heart of our freedoms as Americans.
Oh, Doc, there should be more doctors like you.
There's more to come. I mean, to say what I see is a real threat to the actual practice of medicine and what's been happening in medicine. See, most people don't know this because, you know, doctors have been running a lot of interference for the general public when it comes to what's been going on in terms of the regulations coming down. Mm-hmm. And what we have to be very careful about now in medicine, and it's getting worse.
You're walking on eggshells, actually.
Yes, you know, and it's been taking place over decades. All right? It's just the whole idea that, well, we should be more concerned with population health. I'm sorry, I don't treat populations. I treat individual people. But when you are said, well, as a physician, you must be a resource manager.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And this is what's being infiltrated
nurtured
into, you know, the literature,
the whole spectrum,
you know, the whole spectrum. It then means saying that, well, gee, if I look at you as an individual and you need X amount of resources, but you know what, you're 75 years old, so maybe we shouldn't let you have this medical care because, well, if you look at the cost will be this, thus, and so, and your life expectancy is X number of years, well, that's too much money per year of life. And I can give you actually a real example of it, but I think you appointed me to do something there.
I just want to get into the next song.
Sure.
But I want it, but that's an interesting discussion, especially for us elders, Al Palmer and myself. Okay?
Okay. No. No, that was song number one, track 9. Okay.
Okay, we're going
to...
Right.
Okay, well, that's good, Trevor, because it gives me time to... for those of you who might have seen Pope Francis on 2020 last night...
I was going to ask you that question.
This song is actually linked to it. There was tremendous focus on, you know, like being people of God and so on. We're there to help one another. So could you just imagine what the world would be like if we all loved, lived God and respected one another? No more killings, no more wars, no more deceptions.
Great choice.
A place where children never die. A place where everyone is free. As I looked upon my dream, it shone brightly from above, and I heard the whole world sing, and the melody was love. No more darkness, no more pain, not a cloud was in the sky. Bright sunshine, and there were no more goodbyes. And I saw my dream light up every land, and all hate. This world would one day be a place where everyone's the same, where we're all God's family. If you listen with your heart, I am sure somehow you'll see that this dream can only start if you'll dream the dream with me. I have no doubt, I'm sure you know. Never die, a place where everyone is free. If it seems to be absurd that a dream like this could be, if you'll open up your heart, you can share this dream with me. Yesterday I had a dream.
That was absolutely beautiful.
And that's the message.
Who sings that song?
Oh, this guy
is it Al Palmer?
Louie.
Oh, Louie. Oh, okay. It's great. Oh, I love it. It really touched.
But that's the message. You know, if people really lived God, loved God, trusted in God, there'd be no lies, no killing, no senseless killings,
absolutely,
no distortions, no wars, no weapons. I mean, it would just be a utopia.
That's the formula, baby.
That's the formula. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. All right, go down. You had something else you had to say?
Earlier you had mentioned to me about just a reminder, and I wanted to get this in. You know, Listen Up, Jesus Is on the Air is a tax-deductible 501c3 public charities situation right now. So those of you out there that are able to make a donation, you know, like it is always welcome. It is always welcome that you do, because you help promote, propagate, evangelize this work that's being done, you know, like through the media on the radio. So that's fantastic, and it goes all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
As Tony said many times, we get calls from Australia, Hawaii, Philippines, and different parts of the country, Canada as well. So anyone who would like to make a donation, you can do so. You can go to the website, listen-up.net. Listen-up.net. And we would be very, very, very appreciative of that. So thank you so very much.
Thank you for announcing, for mentioning
that. Yeah, I forgot to mention it earlier.
It was very nice of you, Al, to mention that. And by the way, Dr. John Palmer has agreed to anyone that donates whatever amount, $5, $10, to send a copy of one of his books.
And he will spend a week at your house.
And he'll spend a week at your house. But he has agreed, and it's a solemn agreement that anyone that donates, we will electronically send you one of Dr. Palmer's books, which entails his messages from Jesus.
Fantastic.
In-depth, and they're beautiful, and they're illustrated, gorgeous. So anyway, if you want to donate, we could use the money, 5, 10, 20, 30, whatever. And if you want to sponsor the show, oh, my God, that would
fantastic.
Be unbelievable. Okay, so let's move on.
Okay, I just have to make a correction. The county clerk in Kentucky was a born-again Christian.
Oh, that's right.
Okay.
You are correct. You're
but,
right. Thank you.
I mean, we're Christians. We have...
Oh, it's the same. Yes. What
same.
I was mentioning
yes.
about
yes.
Franklin
yes.
Graham,
absolutely.
Billy Graham.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Same thing, yes.
Okay, so I just wanted to mention just quickly tomorrow's passage, if it's okay, and
sure.
what it's all about. So I just want to, you know, very quickly, I'll just mention two sentences. The incident in tomorrow's gospel is recorded actually only by Mark. And the key line in the gospel tomorrow is what the crowd says at the end. He has done all things well. In the Greek, this echoes the creation story, recalling that God saw all the things he had done and declared them good, as says in Genesis 1:31. So God created the world and created the universe and the stars and the moon and the sun. And then when he looked at them all, he says, all is good. And that includes his creation of us. And I think, and I know he thinks we all are good. So let's move on. I just wanted to mention that as a reflection on tomorrow's reading. So when you go to Mass tomorrow and you hear the reading, just think how God created the stars, the moon, the universe,
oh, yeah.
and It's so amazing.
And the greatest creation of all
is us.
Is man.
Man.
Is man. And you know, for those of us who have been, who watch the news, sometimes I don't because it makes me a little loco. And but
are you related to Palmer?
And we've seen the situation with this huge whale that has a net wrapped around him, and there's so much concern about that, and rightly so. You know, like I don't want to see any creation of God whale in the water and so on, but there's so much concern about that, as there was so much concern about the American doctor who killed that lion. But and then when you compare it to what goes on with the abortion and the selling of fetal parts, organs, and there's like no real attention or general concern in comparison to that of the lion who was killed or the whale that's entrapped in this net, which is, you know, it upsets me too. But what about these little magnificent creations of God, the gift of life? Like just yesterday, my daughter stopped over the house with our husband and the three little ones, my three little grandsons. And each one of them, I'm looking at each one, is like such a profound gift. And her two-month-old baby, Michael, I mean, just looking at his mother's, I could actually cry right now, just smiling.
Oh,
I mean, what a phenomenal grace that is, just to see that little face smiling at mommy. That's what it's all about. And we take no regard in this.
I agree with you 100%. 100%. And you know, that's a lead on for another song, I think.
Oh. You're very good, Anthony. Yeah.
So let's lead into that song. I haven't done the saint yet, but I want to get this song.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
so
number two.
Okay. The Greatest Love, contemporary piece, and actually Whitney Houston did a phenomenal job on that. God rest her soul. But this is what our Holy Father, Pope Francis, was talking last night. Like, there's such tremendous emphasis on the youth, the children, and this is what we're all about. The Greatest Love.
Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how it used to be. Everybody's searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. Never found anyone who fulfilled my needs. A lonely place to be till I learned to find God in me. I decided long ago never to walk in anyone's shadow. If I fail, if I succeed, at least I live as I believe. No matter what they take from me, they can't take away my dignity. Because the greatest love of all is happening to me. Inside of me.
Believe in the children of the future. Teach us well and let us lead the way.
Believe that special place that you've been dreaming of leads you to a lonely place. Find your strength in love.
Sings that song. Oh my God, brings tears to my eyes. By the way, flashing news. I just got a text from an ardent listener of ours that listens to our show religiously. It said, great show. Please let your guest talk more. She is great.
Oh, praise God. No doubt.
Thank you, listener. For saying that, you brought tears to my eyes, and yes, you will shut me up.
There's a motive to that.
I just want to say one thing before I turn
to the compliment.
Over to the good doctor. I was going to talk about Blessed Teresa of Calcutta. Today's her feast day, and
a real missionary.
Warka. Yes, and yeah. I just want to mention, but she's also very quickly known as Mother Teresa and the Saint of the Gutters,
yes,
and etc. And I just want to mention a little bit about her, and then, you know what, Doc? It's all yours. She's the daughter of an Albanian businessman who died when she was 9 years old. In 1948, she went to the convent and left the convent to work alone with the poor and became an Indian citizen. She funded the Congregation of Missionaries of Charity. In 1950 and 1957, the Missionaries of Charity started their work with lepers in diseased areas. She received Pope John Paul XXII's Peace Prize in 1971, the Nehru Award for International Understanding in 1972, and the Nobel Prize of Peace in 1970. And the missionaries today work in 30 countries. And so, she was born in 1910, and she died in 1997. And the rest is all history. She was beatified October 19th in 2003 by Pope John Paul II. And she says, do not wait for leaders. Do it alone.
Amen.
Person to person. Reminds me of you, Doc. Reminds me of you.
If I could just go ahead.
I just want to tell you. And she said, God speaks in the silence of the heart, and we must listen. And then we speak to God from the fullness of our heart, and God listens. And in this listening and in this speaking is what prayer is meant to be. That was said by Blessed.
Not Teresa Palmer.
No, not Teresa Palmer. You're John Palmer. You're Al Palmer.
Okay. Blessed Mother Teresa. Now, I just wanted to say this too, added on to her.
Yeah.
She said, which is very difficult for human man to do, she sees Jesus in everyone.
In everyone.
And everyone is treated with dignity.
Absolutely.
She just didn't see Jesus in Catholics. Or just Christians, and everyone a child of God, and everyone is to be treated with dignity, no different standards, no objections, and this and that. But that's who she was and is.
Thank you.
Amazing. And that's at this amazing conference in Canada, there are about 20 of them who come every year, missionaries of charity.
Is that right?
Praise God, wow. Yes.
Wow. By the way, I want to thank you, Al. I want to thank you for bringing the good doctor to us today.
Yeah.
Because of you, she's here.
Well, everybody, we're all pieces of a puzzle, then. Yeah, so, that's what I say.
But thank you, and I sincerely thank you. And our listeners apparently are thanking you. So, Doc, as a doctor, you know, I know you want to cure people and you want to attend to them and and you but you want to do it in a Catholic fashion, isn't that correct?
That's correct.
So what's your most important mission as a Catholic doctor?
As a Catholic doctor is to ease suffering, to cure disease, if it can be done, all right, but to treat each person with dignity. And it shouldn't matter the state of that person. I mean, you can have someone who, I will use the word handicapped, okay? So I have a number of patients who are handicapped, okay, whether they can't walk or they have certain disorders, whatever. And they deserve the same treatment as someone who's perfectly physically whole, you know, the same dignity. And just recently I was had a patient who had different medical issues and had to take care of this person in hospital. And I kept getting this little thing up on the computer saying palliative care referral. And when you speak to palliative care, you're talking about a terminal patient whose care should be just to ease the suffering. Well, this person wasn't terminal. So I'm wondering, where is this coming from? Well, and thought, well, this is someone with multiple medical issues, and therefore not worth the resources, okay? I can't say any more than that because of HIPAA laws, but this was something that was very distressing to me. Why is this coming up? This person doesn't have just 6 months to live. Okay, this is not a terminal patient. Amen. This is someone who has certain medical issues, but should still be treated.
As best as possible.
Okay, as best as possible. I want to get a little bit back because it's not a whole lot of time. I want to talk about the HHS mandate.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, the Health and Human Services mandate saying that insurance has to be provided that includes contraception, contraceptive agents, abortifacients, and the Little Sisters of the Poor. I have to bring them in because this deals with also end-of-life issues because I work very closely with them. I'm their surgeon at Queen of Peace in Queens Village.
Oh, great.
Well, you know them well.
So I know them very well. These women do a wonderful job taking care of the elderly poor who are of any denomination, any religion, all right? And they take care of them so well. I say these patients think they're in heaven so they forget to die, okay? Because, it's wonderful. But now the work of the Little Sisters of the Poor is being threatened because of the HHS mandate.
Yes.
All right? They cannot... in good conscience, provide medical insurance for their employees if it contains abortifacients and contraceptive coverage, okay? And the out that was given them, they're still being complicit in doing this, okay? Well, basically, they say, just tell your insurance company and then the insurance will pick it up. Well, no, but they're still providing the insurance, okay? So they're still cooperating with this. Now, this is a religious congregation. They are Catholic. They should have a religious exemption, you know, because there's no doubt in anyone's mind that these are Catholic women, and they are a Catholic congregation of religious sisters.
And if I could just say this, I don't want to cut you on this, but there's so much emphasis in our society about dealing with the poor. And these ladies, these women, have given up their life to do just that.
Yes, and frankly, they function on donations. Mm-hmm. All right? They give up their lives. They truly live their vow of poverty.
Amen.
They are taking care of the elderly. And if they are forced to comply with this mandate, they will shut down because they will not go against their consciences. They will not go against the teaching of the church, which means you're going to have a lot of elderly people who are going to be out of luck here because they provide such a beautiful service. All right, now this is what is happening. And I fear that it will get worse, say if physicians don't want to perform abortions, or if, God forbid, euthanasia does become the law of the land, that if a patient says, I want a physician-assisted suicide, will I be forced then to do something I cannot do based on my conscience? Doctors are not meant to kill. They are meant to heal. And this is where I see things going, and this is my fear. And if the people of this country don't wake up and protest, I see that we're going to be going down a very, very dark path.
Amen. So you listen, you're hearing this, the silent majority? The silent majority can no longer remain silent.
Amen.
You must talk up. You must protect our religious freedoms, because little by little, they're going to be taken away from us, and we won't even know it's happening.
Yeah.
So silent majority, wake up and get out there.
The evil triumphs when the good remain silent.
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you, Trevor. Very good. Last night, for those of us who might have seen Pope Francis on 2020, when he departed at the end of the interview, he gave to all the staff people who were interviewing him in Rome, he gave them a pair of the rosaries. Our Lady says to pray the rosary every day for world peace. Saint Padre Pio said, the rosary is the weapon against evil. We celebrate Our Lady's birthday September 8th, this Tuesday. Some are celebrating it this very weekend. But this is our message. Pray the rosary every day. Peace can be restored to the world.
Thank you. Thank you, Al.
Thank you for having me here.
Thank you, my dear friend Dan. Thank you for the help of the co-host.
Praise God.
Doc, thank you. You got to promise one thing. You're going to come back.
Well, you didn't give me enough time to say everything I wanted to say.
You got to come back. Promise you'll be back.
I'll be back.
Okay.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
From the heart of the nautical mile.